Rosh Hashanah is a unique Yom Tov because there are two themes of Rosh Hashanah, and they're different themes. They're not contradictory, but they're different. And we're going to discuss today the two themes of Rosh Hashanah and how they blend together. First of all, you have to know that it's clear in the Rambam, this is a discussion, but it's clear in the Rambam, that there is a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. There's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam says this, and Rav Soloveitchik will quote this Rambam. His Talmidim say he quoted this Rambam all the time. In Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes, we'll get to the context, the Rambam is discussing Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the Rambam says that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why not? So the Rambam says, "Lefi shehen yimei tshuva v'yira upachad, lo yimei simcha yaseira." They're not days of abundant simcha, a lot of simcha. Mashma, they are days of simcha. Rosh Hashanah, there is a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah because it is one of the Yom Tovim. On all the Yom Tovim, there's a mitzvah of simcha, and Rosh Hashanah has a mitzvah of simcha. However, as the Rambam says here, Rosh Hashanah has another theme. It's also what? The Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment. And when we're being judged, we're more nervous, we're more afraid, yira and pachad, and that is the other theme of Rosh Hashanah, that it's a day of yira and pachad as well. What we're going to discuss today is how these two themes fit together. It's a Yom Tov, and it's also a day of yira and pachad. Now, whenever you analyze a topic in Hashkafa, the best way to analyze a topic in Hashkafa is to start with the halachos. Halacha is objective. Halacha is facts. It's objective. And you try to build your hashkafic approach based on the halacha. That is the beautiful way to approach hashkafic ideas. Who did this a lot in his shiurim? The Rav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik. He would often explain the halachos of a day of the Yom Tov, and through the halachos would build up and develop the theme of the Yom Tov. And that's the best way to approach the theme of a topic. The best way to approach the theme is to start with the halachos. So we're going to go through different halachos of Rosh Hashanah and show that this duality, it's a Yom Simcha, and it's also at the same time the Yom Hadin plays itself out in the halacha. The first example is the Rambam that we just learned, which is based on the Gemara, that there's no Hallel. It's a Yom Tov. Why not Hallel? Hallel, singing, dancing, I'm excited. That fits for Sukkot, and for Shavuos, and for Pesach. Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't fit. You're being judged for your life. Although you're happy, you're besimcha, we'll discuss the details of that. At the same time, though, you have to tone it down a little. You have to tone it down a little. You've been judged for your life today. The day you've been judged for life, you're not singing and dancing because you're nervous. You're in fear. You're in fear of the judgment. And that's exactly what the Rambam is saying. That although it's a day of simcha, it's not a day of simcha yaseira because of the tshuva, the yira, and the pachad. Now, the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. The Simcha of Rosh Hashanah, very good way to explain it, and it goes as follows. On Rosh Hashanah, we discussed in another shiur, the basic yesod of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, being Mamul Hashem. Hashem is the king. We spend the whole day, and the Rav Sadia Gaon says that one of the ideas behind Tekiah Shofar is proclaiming Hashem as king, incarnating Hashem as king. We blow the trumpets. Hashem is the king. Now, it's a wonderful schos that Hashem is our king. Makes us happy. It's a happy thing. You know, in America, they elect a new president, they have an inauguration, people are excited. So in England, when you have a new king, a new queen, it's the coronation, people are excited, you're happy. Wow, I'm happy, I have this king, and you celebrate. So, l'havdil alfei havdalos, Hashem's our king. He's our king. And he guides our life. What a chus that we have, that Hashem is our king, and It's a wonderful schlis that we have. So we're besimcha on Rosh Hashanah, celebrating the fact, the malchus, celebrating the fact that we're mamlech Hashem as our king. That is the simple standard pshat in the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. There's another idea, maybe it's a deeper idea, and this is an idea which the Rav Zatzal developed in many places, in many areas of halacha, and it applies to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. The Rav pointed out as follows. You know, by the way, Yom Kippur is a happy day. Yom Kippur is a happy day. Who says Yom Kippur is a happy day?
The Gemara and
Tainit. The Gemara, very good. The Mishnah even in Tainit says the two happiest days of the year were Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, that they would make Shaduchim on these days. Why is Yom Kippur a happy day? The Gemara says, A, it's the day we receive the second Ruchos, a Yom Matan Torah. That's a huge topic which Be'ez Hashem will discuss at a different time. It's the day of Matan Torah. And B, Yom Slicha Mechila. It's the day of Slicha and Mechila. We're forgiven for our avos. That's what the Gemara says. So the Rav explained as follows. This is a very deep idea. Simcha in Yahadus is always defined as being lifnei Hashem. You're close to Hashem. If you look at the psukim in Chumash Devarim, you can do this over Shabbos. Look in the psukim in Chumash Devarim. Whenever the Torah says the word simcha in Chumash Devarim, either right before or right after, the Torah writes lifnei Hashem. In Yahadus, the feeling of being close to Hashem, that's simcha. And the pshat is, my neshama is ruchnius. My neshama wants to get back to its source. Whenever you feel close in the presence of Hashem, the neshama is feeling close to its source, it brings you to simcha. So on Yom Kippur, when we're being forgiven for our aveiros, the Rav quotes from Psukim, aveiros act as their mavdil, there is a separation between us and Hashem. There are a barrier between us and Hashem. And when you do tshuva for your aveiros, you get rid of the barrier, you're now close to Hashem. You have that aspect of lifnei Hashem. That's a deep shot in this. That's the simcha of, in general, in Yadus. That's the simcha of Yom Kippur. And that is also the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. We're doing tshuva. We're in Mamel Hashem. We're accepting Hashem as our king. We feel closer to Hashem. So this is another angle of the simcha of Rosh Hashanah, the simcha of feeling closer to Hashem through the ruchnius of the day, through the tfilos, and through the tshuva. We discussed the nature of the tshuva on Rosh Hashanah in the other shiur. So Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Simcha, Yom Tov, and at the same time, the Yom Hadin. And the Simcha is the Mamech Hashem. The Simcha is becoming closer to Hashem. That's the Simcha. And at the same time, we tone it down a little bit. We tone it down a little bit because it's also the Yom Hadin. We're being judged for our lives today. The Day of Judgment, you're not singing and dancing. And that's why it's from, what's one example in Halacha? What's one example? Hallel. That we don't say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Because it's the Day of Simcha, but not a Day of Simcha Yaseir. Next. There's a mitzvah to eat on every Yom Tov. Yeah, this is a wonderful religion, Baruch Hashem. There's a mitzvah to eat on every Yom Tov. And there's also, we paskin, a mitzvah to eat on Rosh Hashanah. There were some Gaonim who held one is allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. We don't paskin. We paskin that you have to eat on Rosh Hashanah. But it's striking that the Shulchan Aruch gives us a special warning about the eating on Rosh Hashanah. If you look here in the packet, in Simon, Tuf Kuf Tzadi Zion, the Shulchan Aruch talks about eating on Rosh Hashanah. And here's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Simon Tuf Kuf Tzadi Zion. Ochlim v'shosim usmeichim. V'ein misanim v'Rosh Hashanah. That's how we paskin. You don't fast in Rosh Hashanah. V'lo v'shah v'shuvah. Amnam. Lo yochu kol savam. Leman lo yekalu rosham. You shouldn't eat till you're totally full and you're totally saveya. Why? Because then you'll have kalus rosh and you have to have yiras Hashem. Rosh Hashanah when a person eats a big meal and you sit and you relax, and a lot of times, when you're full, you're more relaxed, you joke around, whatever. No, no. The Rosh Hashanah meal is happy, but it's serious. It's not the time for levity and kavus rosh. You have to, you're focused and you're being judged today in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch exactly captures this dual message of Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Simcha. We're happy. We're proclaiming Hashem as King. We're getting close to Hashem today. But we're being judged for our lives. It's a tone it down a little bit. And therefore, lo yochu kol savim. You shouldn't eat till you're totally savim from Rosh Hashanah. Now you should know on every Yom Tov the Shulchan Aruch says not to have kavus rosh. But on Rosh Hashanah, the warning is, it's a stronger warning. So this is example number two in halacha where you find this dual nature of Rosh Hashanah reflected in the halacha. Again, we mentioned before, when you're discussing the hashkafa, the theme of a Yom Tov, start with the halachos. Just one thing about the eating. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, there are different minhagim of what we eat and what we don't eat. So the Rama mentions there's a minhag not to eat egozim, not to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. That's the minhag. And the Rama says the reason is because egos is gematria chait. Gematria of egos is 17. And that's the gematria of chait. The gematria of chait is 18. So it's one off, but there's a rule in gematrias that you're allowed to be one off. That's a rule. And the idea behind the rule is it's called the kolel, meaning that the word itself counts as one. So you have a word, let's say the gematria is 17, and the whole word can count as one. So there's a rule in gematrias, you're allowed to be one off. Later in the year, we'll have a whole shiur on gematrias from the Gra and from Rav Nevinsal, Yebodachayim from Rav Nevinsal, and their gematrias are never off by one. So Rav Nevinsal says a word, he's not the only one to say it, many people say it, but he's the one I heard it from first. Rav Nevinsal says it's very nice, Yishinti that goes in Rosh Hashanah, it reminds you of Chait, but there's another word whose gematria is Chait, and what's that? Chait. Chait, the gematria is Chait. So it's even more important on Rosh Hashanah, more important than avoiding eating nuts in Rosh Hashanah is avoiding Chataim in Rosh Hashanah. So of all the things we should avoid in Rosh Hashanah, let's try not to do Chataim in Rosh Hashanah. So when you're not eating a gozim, we should be focused. We also shouldn't do a chait in Rosh Hashanah either. It's a very nice, sharp word. Chait is gematria chait. So you have to table Rosh Hashanah. Be extra careful in your brachos. Be extra careful in how we treat people at the table. And if we have guests or family members, and you want to avoid a chait on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so far we've had two examples. Next. And this is a beautiful board, and I heard my Rav Shechter says this as well. Fasting on Rosh Hashanah. Now, we paskin that you are not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, that we eat on Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Now, we should know as follows. One is not supposed to fast on Shabbos. You don't fast on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on Gemara's, if a person fasts more than half a day, then it's sort of like they fasted the whole day. So you're not supposed to fast more until past Chatzos on Shabbos. That means you're not supposed to not eat on Shabbos past Chatzos. So if you daven at the early minyan or a 7 o'clock minyan or an 8 o'clock minyan that goes at a reasonable speed and you go home, you're eating by 10:30, 11 o'clock. If you daven a 9 o'clock minyan and you go slow and the long mishabeirachs, you might not eat until after Chatzos. So on a regular Shabbos, if the way your schedule runs, you're not going to eat until after Chatzos, you're supposed to take a drink before davening. Eating before davening is a separate discussion. It's a complicated discussion, but to drink is for sure mutter. So certainly, if your shul davens late and goes along, you're supposed to take a drink before davening. Water is mutter, coffee and tea nowadays, the post can say is mutter. And beyond that, maybe a different time we'll have a discussion about how eating works. That's a different discussion. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, it's mutter to fast past Chatzos. It's very interesting. The Ramah what writes here, I have it for Isaiah for you. The Ramah, it's in the packet. The Ramah writes, it's in the... the sheet that at the top is Siman Tav Kuf Pei Dalet. It's the first line on this sheet. It says here, page Nun Vav. The Rama says, "Uma'arichim bepiyutim utfilos ad chatzos." That means until means and the Mishnah explains, even till past chatzos. You're allowed to daven long on Rosh Hashanah. If on Rosh Hashanah the davening goes a little long and you don't eat lunch till 1 o'clock, that's mutter. What's the Rama saying? That you're allowed to, as opposed to what? As opposed to a regular Shabbos where you're not supposed to do this, and if you do this, you should drink beforehand. On Rosh Hashanah, it's mutter. So the Mefarshim explain, Rav Shechter like says this over, that's exactly the idea. On Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov. You're not allowed to fast, but because it's the Yom Hadin, we are, in a sense, makil, that we allow you to fast past Chatzos, because it is the Yom Hadin. And if you want to daven a little longer and not eat till 1, that's okay. So that is a very nuanced, subtle expression of this notion that it's the Yom Tov, Yom Simcha, and at the same time it's the Yom Hadin, and therefore we relax the a little bit the rules of Yom Tov. Don't say Hallel. Be careful when you're eating, and you're not allowed to fast, but you're allowed to fast past Chatzos. That's a very subtle, beautiful third expression of this halacha, the Yom Simcha, and at the same time being the Yom Hadin. Maybe I'll take questions at the end. I want to get though. So that's example number three. Example number four is how we dress on Rosh Hashanah. So the Magen Avraham writes, I have it here on in the packet, in Siman Tov Kuf Tzadi Zayin. It's in the front sheet. I wrote it out for you. Lo Yilbash Begadim Chashuvim Rak Levanim. The Magen Avraham writes, you don't wear your nicest clothes on Rosh Hashanah. If you have different levels of clothing, so let's say Yom Tov is your nicest clothing, let's say, so Rosh Hashanah, you tone it down half a notch. Again, by us, we normally have weekday clothing versus Shabbos and Yom Tov clothing, so we wear on Rosh Hashanah Yom Tov clothing. But the idea of the Magen Avraham is that, again, if you have these different levels, you don't wear your nicest, but rather like, you know, one half notch. But again, you don't dress weekday clothing. You dress like Shabbos and Yom Tov. But the Ramban says, not the very, very nicest. What's the idea? This is the idea. It's a Yom Tov. We're besimcha. We have to dress appropriately. But it's the Yom Hadin. And on the Yom Hadin, where you're being judged for your life, you tone down your expressions of simcha because it's also the Yom Hadin. So this is a fourth... This is a fourth example in halacha where we are trying to find the balance between the simcha of the day, we're being mamlech Hashem, and at the same time, it's also the Yom Hadin, the day of judgment, so we tone things down. That's four. The fifth example is just part of the nature of the day, is the davening. In our davening, we have the malchios, and of course we have the zichronos. The basic theme of Malchios is we're being Mamlech Hashem as our king. And as we describe, that generates a simcha. The Zichronos is Hashem doesn't forget anything. Hashem is judging us. And we're in fear. And we are in fear being on the day of judgment. So the Shemoneh Esrei itself, there's the simcha of the Malchios. And there's the fear and the pachad of the Zichronos. Now the truth is, there's an element of fear within the Malchios, because if Hashem's the king, then we're trembling. And there's an element of Simcha in the Zichronos, because the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Sfarim right, that because Hashem has Rachamim, so the fact that Hashem is judging us, there is a Simcha there as well, that we have confidence Hashem will have mercy on us. So that's like a sub-theme within Malchios and Zichronos. But the basic theme of Malchios and Zichronos is the excitement of proclaiming Hashem as king as the Malchios, and the fear of the judgment of Zichronos. Now, if we're trying to analyze the nature of Rosh Hashanah based on the halachos of the day, what have we left out so far? Sort of the main thing. Shofar! We left out the shofar. You have to work with the shofar, and we're going to see that the shofar mamish blends into both aspects of the day. Okay. First of all, we have to recognize, and this is an idea that goes back to the Rishonim. The Briskers really developed this idea. The Brisker Rav and Rav Soloveitchik really developed this idea a lot in their writings and their shiurim, the following notion. But it goes back to the language of the Rishonim. We actually saw it earlier in the year when we learned the Ritva by Takanas Rabbi Abohu. When you blow the shofar, it is considered a form of tefillah, of davening. This is not just a hashkafic top idea, it's a halachic idea. There is a kiyum tefillah within the blowing of the shofar. Many, many sources indicate this. We saw it already ourselves. The Ritva says it explicitly. We saw the Ritva. The Ritva is describing that the old minhag was to blow during Musaf only a few sounds of the shofar, not enough to be yotze the mitzvah. What kind of minhag was that? Why are you blowing shofar during Musaf if it isn't enough to fill the mitzvah? Now, we do blow enough to fill the mitzvah, but in the Ritva's time, they didn't. We discussed this in Shir. So the Ritva says, because the purpose of the tzkiyah shofar during Musaf is not to be yotze the mitzvah of tzkiyah shofar. The purpose of the tzkiyah shofar during Musaf is to bring our tefillos up to Hashem beratzon and stir up Hashem's rachamim. So the whole essence of the tzkiyah shofar during Musaf is to be part of our tefillos. And again, the Mefarshim point this out. It's very striking. We blow shofar during davening. During Chazer HaShashatz, we blow shofar. If you daven Nesach Svar, you blow shofar during Shemona Esrei itself. It's this very unique thing. Picture the following. It's the first night of Pesach. You're in Shul. You're davening Shemona Esrei. And in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you reach into your pocket and take out the matzah. And during Shemona Esrei, the first night of Pesach, you eat your kazayas of matzah with the chumrah, two kazayas and the whole thing. That would be totally strange. You don't start doing outside mitzvos in the middle of Shemona Esrei. That's not what you do. And yet by Rosh Hashanah we do. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar during Musaf, and either during Chazaras HaShatz or during the Salat Shemona Esrei. How does it blend? Clearly, halachically, it blends in. It's a kiyum of tefillah. We have to explain the tefillah, but we'll explain that in a few minutes. First, the Rav brought other proofs. So one angle is the fact that it's in Shemona Esrei at all reflects that it's a kiyum of tefillah. And we saw the language of the Ritva is explicit. The Rav mentioned two other proofs for this that I find very compelling and very appealing. First of all, the Rav pointed out as follows. This is actually a wonderful idea, a deep idea. There is a famous Abu Draham is a Rishon. He wrote a Perush on the Siddur. One of the first to write a Perush on the Siddur. And the Abu Draham is quoted all the time by the later commentaries on the Siddur. The Abu Draham writes that a rule, that when Chazal established the language of brachos, they didn't just take a language out of nowhere. The language of brachos is patterned after psukim in Tanakh. He brings a few examples. If you want to write a fabulous senior thesis, maybe a master's thesis, I'm not sure which one, go through all the brachos we say during the day in davening, all the brachos we ever say, and find the pasuk in Nach that it's based on. That's what the Abu Draham, and he brings a few examples. Okay, good. So the Rav said, wait a second. The bracha we say on Rosh Hashanah is that Hashem is Shomea Kol Teruas Amo Yisrael Berachim. Hashem hears the sound of our teruas. The Rav says, there's no pasuk that says that Hashem hears the sound of a shofar, but Hashem listens to the sound of the shofar. You don't find a pasuk like that. So you have a kasha. According to Abu Ram's rule, the bracha of Rosh Hashanah is a kasha. It's against the rule. It's a kasha against Abu Ram's rule that this bracha appears not to be based on a pasuk in Tanakh. What's the answer? The Rav says that tzkiyah shofar is what? What's tzkiyah shofar? It's a form of tefillah. And there are many psukim in Tanakh that talk about Hashem hears the sounds of our tefillahs. So when Chazal established the bracha, the brachos in Shemona Esrei, Musaf Shemona Esrei, they took the pasuk of Tanakh, Hashem hears the sounds of our tefillahs, And they said, we're going to make a bracha. Hashem hears the sounds of our tekiyas shofar. Because tekiyas shofar al pi halacha is a form of tefillah. It's a beautiful, beautiful word from the Rav. That this expression of Rosh Hashanah being a tekiyas shofar being a form of tefillah. There's a famous machlokas in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kaf Vav. Is the shofar supposed to basically be straight, pashut, or kafuf, bent? Bent over or straight or kafuf? That's a famous, it's a machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara explains, and with Rashi, what's the machlokas based on? It's based on what is the best way that a person should daven. How should you be standing when you daven? When a person davens, you can either be bent over, you're submissive, I'm nothing in front of Hashem, I'm kafuf, or when a person davens, you stand up straight, you stand at attention, giving cover to Hashem. So if you look in the Gemara and Rashi, the basis, the root of the machlokes about the shape of the shofar is the way you're supposed to stand when you daven. What's the connection between the way you stand when you daven and the shape of the shofar? The Rav says the whole assumption behind that Gemara is that tekiyas shofar is a form of tefillah, and therefore the Tanaim are arguing the way we shape the shofar should somehow correspond to the way we're supposed to stand when we're davening. That's beautiful. The whole assumption of the sugya is that shofar is a form of tefillah. That's what the Rav writes here. This is from the Masorah journals, the page that says Masorah on it. It's the very last page, but number six. The Rav quotes, the Mishnah, the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Nechlo Tanayim, Shofar Shavar Shana, Tzarech Shia, Pashit O'Kafuf. The Maya Kamifugi, Mar Sovar, Barashana Kamet, Tekai, Finish, Daite, Tzvei Ma'ali. It's better to be bent over and submissive. The Mar Sovar, Kamet, Pashit, Finish, Daite, Tzvei Ma'ali. Perish Rashi, Kamet, Tekai, Finish, Bitzfiloso. Pun of kavushin la'aretz, your head, your face is down. Tzvei adif. The time of demand to amar to pashit tzvei adif perish Rashi. Mishim nesol avenu al kapayim. So the entire sugya is assuming that the shofar should be a form of tefillah. That's another example that shofar is a form of tefillah. Okay. Now, how exactly is shofar a form of tefillah? How do you daven with the shofar? So on. So here again, this is based on Rav Sadigon and the Pashup Shat. So on the one hand, shofar blends into our tefillah of Malchus. You're proclaiming Hashem as king. When you proclaim a king, what do you do? What do you do when you proclaim a king? You blow trumpets. You blow trumpets. 21 gun salute. So the shofar is the trumpets that accompany the coronation of the king. So the sounds of the shofar augment and become and blend into our tefillos of Malchus. Oh, but the shofar also, we discussed, is the sound of crying. The true is the sound of crying. Rosh Hashanah, during Zichronos, we're in fear, we're being judged by Hashem, and we have fear. And at that time, there's a discussion about crying Rosh Hashanah itself, but you're at least supposed to cry inside. There's a discussion about crying outside. That's a different minhag. But we're in fear from Hashem, and we're terrified, trembling on the Yom Hadin, and we start crying, and we use the shofar as that form of crying in front of Hashem. And so the sounds of the shofar blend in to our zichronos as well. The idea is as follows. This is how I heard it explained once. The shofar is crying without words. Here's the mashal. You're in high school, and it's the end of 11th grade, and you did something really, really, really awful, and you're borderline going to be expelled, and you're finished. Borderline, you're going to be expelled and finished. All right. Now, you know that if you get kicked out of high school now, it's not going to be good for you. It's going to be embarrassing for you, for your family. And you're picturing, oh my gosh, like my whole future now. What a stupid thing that I did. It was terrible. You come to the principal, and you start pleading your case. You say, please, and you talk, and you this, and you realize that this principal, like your whole future is in his hands. And you're pleading, and you're trying and this, and then at some point you talk and you sort of run out of things to say, and what happens next? What happens next? You start crying. What is that cry? You say, listen, I don't know what else to say, please help me. That cry is, help me, what are, please, everything I have is based on, and you start crying. That's Rosh Hashanah. We're diving in front of Hashem, we're asking for a good din, we recognize it's all in front of Hashem, our whole life is dependent on this, we try this, we dive in hours and hours and hours, then we realize we didn't say enough, and Hashem, help me! And that, the Tekiah Shofar, is that cry for help, with words, it's a tefillah without words, and it augments our, it blends into our tefillah, it blends into our zichronos of being judged by Hashem, and that's how the Tekiah Shofar blends in as well. Just one more idea, that the two aspects of Rosh Hashanah, and this again, I heard this first from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that the Tekiah is the straight sound, that's like normally the all clear sound, the positive sound, and the Trua is the crying sound. So it could be the two sounds in Rosh Hashanah already reflect the two aspects of the day, the Simcha versus the judgment. So this is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's not a contradiction. On Rosh Hashanah, you go through the day, on the one hand, you're B'Simcha, you're happy, we dress nicely, we eat, we're Malach Hashem as King, we're so excited, Hashem's the King, Hashem's our King, and we have a schus of incarnating, proclaiming Hashem as King. And we're besimcha on Rosh Hashanah. At the same time, it's the Yom Hadin. And we're being judged. We're in fear for our lives. We're terrified. And therefore, over and over again, in the halacha, not just in Mashkaf, in the halacha, we find that we tone down our expressions of simcha because it's also the Yom Hadin. We're happy, we don't say halal. We eat, but not kol sebeya. It's aser to fast, but it's mutter to fast past chatzos. We dress nicely, but not the highest level. We're besimcha during davening, we're also in fear during davening. This is the dual nature of Rosh Hashanah, where we analyze the hashkafa based on the halacha. You got it?